Otherwise, we will greet you as we finish church Sunday morning. All right, Psalm chapter number 1, Psalm chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That first word there, blessed, is a big word spelled out capital letters in my Bible. And it means happy. Blessed and happy are pretty much the same thing. But it is truly a blessed man. And this happy man that is blessed is a man that God honors because he honors God. As a matter of fact, Satan envies this man. Satan wishes he could be like this because he's not blessed. Satan is cursed, and Satan envies the opportunity that we have to be blessed. And let me stop and use that word again. You and I tonight have opportunities that the rest of the world doesn't have. We have opportunities that other people don't have. I realize that other people might have other things that I don't have. But there's something I have as a believer that this world does not have. And that's the opportunity to be the blessed man. Now, it's not something that comes automatic. Getting saved is a blessing. But you're not necessarily the blessed individual just because you got saved, because you still have choices to make since that salvation. Now, not being saved, you obviously aren't going to be the blessed man. But getting saved, the understanding, the expectation is that you would do what the blessed man does and you would not do what the blessed man doesn't do, that you would follow his example. And so what the devil wants to do is to deceive us and sidetrack us into getting ourselves off onto something else that we shouldn't be in. And so we are distracted and we are led astray by some other thing that we ought not be gotten ourselves into. Since Satan couldn't be Adam or Eve, Satan wanted to ruin Adam and Eve, and he did. And he befriended Eve. And I'm sure we think of a snake being something that would be something repulsive or offensive, but the serpent in the garden was not. She was not at all offended or afraid of the serpent. And when the serpent spoke to her, he talked to her like a friend and treated her like he had her best interests in mind. Can I tell you something? A good friend does have your best interests in mind, but most of the time, people who act like a friend aren't. They're only interested in themselves. I heard somebody say this the other day concerning his daughter, a young man who wanted to date his daughter, wanted to, be boyfriend, girlfriend. And he said, you know something? He said, real love leaves the other person better than they found it. Better than they found them in. Real love betters them, not takes from them. And I would say that across the board for any kind of friendship, not just boyfriend, girlfriend. A good friend is going to be someone who is going to encourage you and better you. And when we're blessed, our neighbors are blessed. See, the blessed man isn't just someone who blesses himself. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of unsaved and ungodly people who bless themselves. All the time. They bless themselves. They take care of themselves. They're great missionaries to themselves. But that's not a blessing to anybody else. I can think of people and names of people who have been a blessing to themselves, but they're not a blessing to anyone else around. And the blessed man is different. The blessed man is blessed by God, and he is a blessing to his neighborhood, to his neighbors, to his people, the co-workers and people that he is around, his family. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the virtuous woman and what a blessing she is. The children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. I'll brag on my wife for a minute. My family would definitely say that they are blessed because of her. They are blessed greatly because of who she is and what she does in the home, all right? That is the way a blessed person, the blessed man, the blessed woman, the blessed person of God is. They are a blessing to others. They're not just blessed themselves, okay? So I want to be this person. I want to be the blessed man. And it says in verse 1, he's the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now understand that when you're going to be blessed, when you want to be blessed, there's going to be things you can't do. There are going to be something that nobody likes. There's going to be rules. Harmony's got her head down because she doesn't even like the word rules. Do you like rules? See, you're being honest. I appreciate that. Did you know rules are good? Now, some rules are stupid. But a lot of rules are actually really good rules. I'm thankful that we have rules. I use this example all the time, the stop sign. In Mexico, I've been there, I've been to other countries, they have an alto sign. People don't stop for alto. It means stop in Spanish, but they don't stop. So then they put a speed bump in front of the alto sign because people won't stop. So then you wear out and tear up your front end of your vehicle. Why? Because there's lots of car accidents down there. And in other countries, third world countries, there's a lot of accidents because nobody obeys the rules. It's just every man for himself. By the way, I saw somebody said today that they're no longer going to stop at intersections. The price of gas is too high. They're just going to go for it. Can't afford to idle. But that's the way the third world countries are. I mean, if you've ever seen it, it's a chaotic mess. I mean, you close your eyes and scream bloody murder as you go through the intersections. Rules are good. Rules are meant to be obeyed for safety. And the blessed man is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's just things he's not going to do. He's not going to walk with ungodly counsel. I'm talking to young people tonight who have the potential of having negative friends. I'm talking to middle-aged people tonight that can have negative influences of friends in your life. And I'm talking to you old fogies tonight that you too can have negative influences and friends. Every age group can have the wrong influence and the wrong kind of friends. And the blessed man, there's just some things he doesn't do. Listen for a minute, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but the blessed man doesn't say, well, I'm smarter than everybody, so I'll know who not to hang around with. It don't work that way. I mean, we end up with people that we think are our friends, and we're convinced. Have you ever not read the prodigal son story? The prodigal son had all these friends because he had money. He didn't find out how unfriendly they were until he ran out of the money. As soon as the money dried up, he found out he didn't have friends. He found out that his father back home was actually his best friend. But he didn't treat his father like his best friend. Let me tell you a story that happened to me 35 years ago, 33, something like that, 30-something years ago. I was in the basement of a different church in this town when I was a teenager. This church didn't exist. At the time, that was probably the best church to go to. I was in Gillette. We were over in Custer, South Dakota, on a youth activity. And I was sitting in the basement of this other church in town. Not even the same name now. And in the basement, the school teacher, the preacher, principal of the school, was giving a lesson. He was talking. And some of you might know him. Bob knows him. Mr. Reuger. And Mr. Reuger asked this question. I remember exactly how he asked it, but he said, why is it that you guys, you, especially your age, you have friends that get you to do dumb things, and you know that your parents wouldn't want you to do that, but you go ahead and do what your friends want you to do. And how many of us know that happens? We just got a German Shepherd puppy. We're all excited about her. She's a pretty little thing. And just smart like her owner. And we had a German Shepherd before. That's why we're excited about this one. And years ago, this German Shepherd we had, she was a smart girl, and we really liked her too. And then one day, someone had a puppy, had these puppies, and they were these little, I don't know what they were, a border collie or something. Anyhow, they were a little bit of a mix, but we thought, well, we'll get a puppy to play with Lady, you know, our dog Lady, our German Shepherd. We'll get a puppy that Lady can play with, have a companion. That'll be, and Lady's so smart that Lady, I mean, because German Shepherd, do you know the first seeing eye dog was a German Shepherd? Because the German Shepherd, they're just very smart. And so we thought, so Lady will teach the puppy the ropes. The Lady will show little Border Collie puppy, this is how things work, okay? Guess what happened? Every brain cell in Lady's head fell out. Everyone. And pretty soon we had two stupid puppies. One great big German Shepherd puppy and a little puppy. What happened? I realized that all of a sudden, they defer to the least common denominator of brain cells. And kids do the same thing. And humans do the same thing. And instead of her leading, she followed. And she's like, oh, that's a great idea. I didn't think about chewing on all the screens of the window before, but let's chew on all the screens of the window. And let's just run around and do our thing. And I remember one time, I left the house. I didn't see either dog. That's weird. I left the house. It's about a two-mile windy road down to the pavement. And right there on the border of Wyoming, South Dakota, is where I came out on the road. And I turned, and I started down the highway. And I started down the highway, and I'm picking up speed. I'm getting about 60 miles an hour. And there's these two dogs feeding on this carcass over here on the side of the road. I thought, who in the world's got their dogs eating a carcass on the side of the road? Well, that's just gross. And I'm getting closer. My dogs. Ugh. You stupid dog. That dog never would do that before. That dog would never even venture the highway before. And, you know, when you get to be young persons, you do that too. But it's not, I don't want to just say it's young persons, because adults can be just as guilty of this. But Mr. Reuger said, so why is it? Why is that? Why is it that you know your fellow teenage friends want to do this, and you know that's not what your parents would want you to do. You know that's not what your pastor would want you to do. You know that's not what God wants you to do. But why is it that you'd go ahead and do it anyway? Can I ask that tonight? Why is it? Why is it that you'd go ahead and do it anyway? And we all just kind of stared. No, we didn't look at the floor, Harmony. We looked up at the preacher. Harmony, you looking at the preacher? We didn't look at the floor. We just stared at him. And finally, I raised my hand and I said, because I was thinking about me, and I said, because I know that if I don't do what my friends want me to do, they won't be my friends anymore. But if I do something stupid, my parents will still love me. Now let me say it again. Why did you go with your friends instead of your parents? Because you know your parents will forgive you and still love you. But your friends will treat you like dirt the next day. If you stand up against your friends and say, my dad, my God, doesn't want me to do that. The next day at school, your friends, let's put quotes around it, your quote-unquote friends will whisper about you and treat you like dirt. So I got a question for you. Because as soon as I answered the question, Mr. Reuger pointed at me and said, exactly. And I'm like, yeah. It was like the light bulb came on. So why do we call them friends? Why do you call them friends? If they're going to drop you like a hot rock, they're not your friend. They don't love you. They're just using you. That's not what friends do. And the blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, because it's ungodly counsel. Keep your finger in Psalm 1, because I want to go a couple other places. First of all, I want to just quote this to you as we go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13, and as we're going to 2 Samuel 13, I just want to quote a verse to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, there's this phrase in there, and it says this: evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Why did Lady the smart German Shepherd turn into a stupid, dumb puppy dog? because evil communications corrupt good manners. And the more you allow evil communications, commune, the more you allow yourself that influence, the more your manners will be corrupted. And that's exactly what happens to us as individuals. And it doesn't matter if you're 5, 15, 75. All age groups, we have this problem. And we allow our friends to influence us, and we need to realize that the blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I was talking with someone just earlier tonight about when my parents stepped out as Christians from what they used to be. And as they stepped out, they had friends and family that ridiculed them. They had friends and family that, what are you doing that for? Well, that's dumb. What? And they would just think of every horror story they could for why you shouldn't get so religious. Your kids are gonna be, they said, your kids won't be well educated. They don't even know how to read and you're gonna quit your job and go do that. And they just gave them all kinds of grief. Now I want to tell you something. After 40 some years, obviously those negatives weren't right. They weren't, the predictions weren't correct. Actually, it was a good thing for my parents to step away from the counsel of the ungodly. Can I tell you something? You need to be careful who you walk with. That idea of walking isn't just you happen to be walking with someone someday, but the idea of a continued walking where you just, because what do people do when they walk together? They talk. We call it the walkie-talkies. They walk and talk together. And so you begin to be influenced by who you're with. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, there's a really sad story. It's a gross story. It's interesting. It comes right after chapter 11 and 12, because chapter 11 and 12 is when David committed adultery with another man's wife. Then he killed the man to cover it up and married the woman. And then in chapter 12, God said, I saw all that, and you're not going to get away with it. In chapter 13, the chickens started coming home to roost, and you started reaping what you were sowing. Because in chapter 13, the beginning of some bad things started to happen in David's life. I'm going to see this in verse 1 here of chapter 13. It says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, if you read that real slow, you realize that Absalom and Amnon had the same dad. His name was David. They had different moms because David made one big mistake, is he had more than one wife. So now he's got these different children all in the same household with different mothers, same dad. And now you've got Absalom with a fair sister. That means she's very pretty, a very pretty sister. And in the same house is this half-brother named Amnon. And it says in verse 1 that Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, before we read any more, let me just tell you right now, that's the worldly kind of love. That's the way the world uses the word love. Okay? And you can, because before you get even halfway through the chapter, you'll realize this guy does not really love her. Because of what I just said earlier. Because she's not going to be in better shape because of him. She'll be worse shape. And so obviously he doesn't love. Who does he really love? Himself. I remember one preacher said years ago, and I remember hearing it and thinking, boy, that's a good way to say it. He said, listen, girls, I used to be a guy. A young guy. I used to be a teenage guy like you like teenage guys. And listen to me, young girl. Let me tell you something. When a teenage guy says to you, I love you, or even a college-age guy says, I love you, typically what they really mean is, I love me and I want you. I think that's a good way to say it, because typically that is the case. Typically, when I said that to John Mark, I told John Mark, I said, I didn't know what the word love was when I was your age. I knew what it was, but I didn't really understand love. I love you, for most people, as I want you. I want to use you. I want to be satisfied by you. not really I love you. And sadly, girls, let me just stop and go off on this little rabbit trail. Somehow the girls think that as long as a guy notices her, she must be loved. That's not so. That's not true. Just because you are attractive to him doesn't mean he loves you. And this girl Tamar was attractive. And Amnon thought he was in love with her. Well, number one, he wasn't in love with her. Number two, she's his half-sister. So this is even double trouble. So number two, verse two, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Well, I would say so. But now I want you to see verse 3, and if you are like me, you might want to underline verse 3, the first five words in verse 3. But Amnon had a friend. And because he had a friend, he ended up molesting and raping his half-sister Tamar. Because his friend talked him into it. But Amnon had a friend. Was this a good friend? No. As a matter of fact, if you want to know how this story ends, Absalom kills Amnon. And you know who runs to King David and tells King David what happened? The friend. Wasn't a friend. He was a manipulator. One of the worst kinds. And notice this. Now I want you to know this because this is important. Verse 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Not only was Jonadab a bad friend, he was actually a cousin. Just because you're cousins doesn't mean it's okay to hang out. I know the world says different. I know something inside of you said, wait a minute. But I'm going to tell you right now, just because you're related doesn't mean you're supposed to hang around each other. I didn't say be unkind. I didn't say be unfriendly. But I'm going to tell you right now, just because I have cousins doesn't mean they're godly people. And I'll tell you this, me personally, I'm not proud of this, but it's true. I saw more videos, movies that I shouldn't have seen at my cousin's house than anywhere else because it was their house. We're cousins, right? Oh, by the way, in the Bible, they didn't have TV. That's another bad friend. A lot of mothers use TV as a babysitter. Let me tell you something. You are turning your child over to some unknown friend who's programming the programs. When our kids were little, we checked out movies from the library, but we didn't check them all out. And did you know that there are some cartoons and movies that have agendas behind them? I don't watch cartoons. I hope you're proud of me for that. But I have seen cartoons once in a while, and I'm not saying every cartoon out there is bad, but listen, gone are the days of Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny and, you know, Wile E. the Coyote and Roadrunner. It's a whole lot different now if you ever stop to watch any cartoons. I remember like 20-some years ago, I was somewhere and these kids, these family was coming to church, and they had this little cartoon, and it was called Brother Bear. And it was a, you know what it was about? It was about a Native American who died and came back as a bear. That's reincarnation. It's just reincarnation. That's what it is. Oh, it's cute. It's reincarnation. That's not in the Bible. That's pagan. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, of course, Harry Potter is witchcraft and wizardry and all that stuff. But I'm just talking about cartoons and all kinds. There's just stuff out there. Watch out for the attitudes and agendas by and they push the girlfriend boyfriend stuff. Okay. I'm not saying everything out there is raunchy, but I'm just telling you, be careful. You ought to know what it is your kids are watching, and you ought to know who your children are with. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. And here's the sad thing. Amnon had a wicked thought in his head. He loved his sister, his half-sister. But here's the thing. What if verse 3 had said, but Amnon didn't have any friends? Maybe it would have never happened. Maybe the whole horrible episode would have got skipped over. And we know, if you know the story, this is part of David's reaping what he's sown for his adultery. And now his son has raped his own daughter, and now his other son's going to kill that son for doing that, and it just gets worse. And then behind all that, there's this nephew named Jonadab, who shouldn't have been a good buddy to his cousin Amnon. There's nothing wrong with you having a conversation with your child and saying, look, we love our cousins or we love our family, but we can't necessarily follow their example. And I'll just, I think Miss Wilma can correct me on this, but we didn't let our kids stay overnight very many places. I'm not saying never, but we just didn't. You know why? Because we just want to make sure we knew what they were being exposed to and when and where. And we know, I mean, when I was a kid, it was TV. Now it's just phone, you know, right there in front of you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. See, back in Psalm 1, it says, the blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I do believe that there's an agenda behind movie or cartoons like Brother Bear. I really do. I'm not accusing any certain individual. I just know that Satan wants to use all that stuff. And then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So here you're walking with this ungodly person. And walking is one thing, because at least it's moving, all right? At least there's some flow to it. I mean, you know, running water, you know, even if it's got some contamination, at least it's flowing. But now it's standing. I mean, the chances of you catching something just moving is not as great as when you're standing, because now you're still, and the contact potential is even greater. Standeth in the way of sinners. Remember years ago, there was a young mother with a little baby, and she was sitting at our kitchen table at our house right over there, and she was just bawling and weeping. And she found out at the Christmas party that she attended that her husband was cheating on her, and it was just a big blow-up mess. And there's just a puddle of tears on the table. And I don't hardly even know this lady. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, what do I do? And I'm praying. And finally, I started asking her about herself. You know, and I started to witness to her and talk to her about the gospel. She said something that made me kind of more sad than I even already was. She said, I am saved. Which is good, if she truly was saved. I said, you are? She said, yeah. She said, I used to go to an anchor club, like an Awana, over in Sioux Falls, I think she said. Really? Yeah, she said, I kind of like some of the kids come to ours, you know. And she said, I am saved. And as delicate and as sensitive as I could ask, I said, So how did you end up with this guy? Where did you meet your husband? Now, she was saved at like age 9. Where did you meet your husband? Guess where she met her husband? Anybody want to guess? At the bar. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. I don't know of any good reason. I can't think of one good reason for a Christian to be at the bar or any of places like that. By the way, would you not agree with me that most people, when they take their first drink of alcohol, don't do it all by themselves? Don't you? Would you agree that probably somebody else was with them when they took their first drink of alcohol or drugs? I mean, that's part of the whole deal, is the peer pressure. See, standeth the way of sinners. You walk with the counsel of the ungodly, and you listen to the counsel. And this is why we decided not to have our children in the full-blown public school system. We wanted them to be able to have the ability to have a conversation and be able to, you know, talk and converse and to know stuff without having to know everything. But standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is the worst one of all. Because walking is moving, at least you're moving. Standing, now that's greater potential, but sitting means you're going to stay a while. And so sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know what the scornful? The scorner is just, you read Proverbs. God has no room for the scorner. Scorner. The scornful now becomes the mocker of the authority. The scorner is kind of what we, when we talk about the teenage years. The scorner, and not every teenager is a scorner, but the scorner is where they're just, you know, they're smarter than everybody else. And those are dumb rules. And they make fun of authority. And so now they're sitting in the seat with the scorner. Here's the thing. I know that the scorner doesn't love me. But if I dare stand up to the scorner, you know what's going to happen? You know what the Bible, Proverbs even tells me what's going to happen. When you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. But you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. So you, if you're a friend, if you're hanging out with a scorner, you got one choice. You either join with the scorning or you get scorned. Right? There's a kid on my bus, has to sit right behind me. I don't know if he likes that or not. I got a feeling he doesn't. I might even have a feeling, I'm not sure, but I might even have a feeling that he's gone into class and told his friends about the stupid bus driver and what he's done. Dude, the bus driver didn't do anything. You did. That's why you got to sit right behind me now. And then there comes on this pressure, got to scorn authority. And pretty soon you got all these fifth and sixth graders. I mean, they know everything. You know what I mean? They're just so much smarter than everybody else. It's the scorner. Look, the Bible warns heavily about being with the scorners. And if you're sitting with the scorners, shame on you. I remember when I was just second, third grade, I remember, you know, being super smart. And I was sitting with Kenny the Scorner. And I don't remember what, but Kenny was scorning, and I was scorning with Kenny because I want to be cool like Kenny. And so Kenny is scorning, ha, 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 and I'm scorning too. My mom saw me scorning with Kenny. You know, scorning authority, mocking. Mom grabbed me by the ear after church, turned it all the way around, marched me out the door, and gave me some application to the seat of learning for my scorning. Eventually, I wasn't even allowed to hang around Kenny. And I'm just telling you right now, I know it. I've had youth where I'm asking rhetorical questions, and they're like, hey, say a dumb answer. And they all agree, say a dumb answer. Why? They just want to scorn. They just want to make fun. And it's not respect. It's the opposite. Scorn. Scorners. So now he's sitting with the seat, in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 that God's going to scorn you one day. You're so smart. You know so much. You keep that up, one day you'll be scorned by him. Listen, if you're not careful, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And I'm not picking on you because I used to be where you are. And I know what it's like to be scorned and be laughed at. And everybody makes fun of you. Pretty soon, we're going to show Pamela's prayer to all these kids we got in here. Haven't shown that video in a long time. But we're going to show it. But I remember some scenes in there where they the rest of the kids found out that Pamela's dad had some really strict rules for Pamela. And it caused the rest of the kids to laugh at Pamela. But at the end of the movie, they weren't laughing at Pamela. They're wishing they could be like Pamela. The blessed man is the person who's not doing this. He's not walking with the ungodly. He's not standing with the sinners. He's not sitting with the seat of the scornful. He's not doing that. Instead, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want to stop and tell you something. Just this last weekend at camp, I was watching our kids while we were having our preaching time. While the pastor was teaching, I was watching our kids while I was listening. Not all of them. But almost all of them had their Bibles open and had a paper or a notebook and a pen. And they were taking notes and writing things down. I like to see that. Now, I realize you can do all that and it still didn't mean anything. But I got the impression that some of the kids that we had in our camp, in our trip, really do delight in the Bible. They really do. Now, there are other kids that are like, you delight? I mean, pastor's been talking for like 40 minutes now, and I'm just so bored. Listen, there's other people in this room, believe it or not, there's other people in the room that actually are delighting in it. I hope you're one of those. Because the blessed man is the one who delights. Wow, that's good. I remember that. I forgot it. Now I remember. And you delight in the law. You delight in the Bible. You delight in what the law of the Lord says. In other words, the standards that God has for you. The scorner says, I don't want to follow the rules in the Bible. I'll just be old-fashioned and square. Remember what I said about 25 minutes ago? Rules are good for you. Rules are not, we're not rules just so we can be weird. Rules are good for you. In 2 weeks and 2 days, you're going to see two people stand in front of all of you. And they're going to kiss each other. And I'm having a hard time with that. No, they're going to kiss each other for the first time. Is that right? You're not lying, are you? For the first time. They're going to kiss each other for the first time. You know why? Because there's rules. Yeah, but they're so old-fashioned and weird. No, actually, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it said it's good for a man not to touch a woman until you're married. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's good rules. You avoid lots of other problems besides. And if you'll delight in the law of the Lord, there's other things. God has rules and he has standards. He has things that he wants us to follow. And they're good. At the time, they might be hard. And at the time, they might be a struggle. But in the end, they're good. And here's the thing. Every one of us who have been married, every one of us who are adults, we know that after these two kiss each other for the first time, it's not going to be like, wow, they sure lost out. No. No, they still have their whole life in front of them. With a clean past then behind them. They didn't lose anything. I talked about this before. I think I said it Sunday night, but Psalm 37, 1 through 4. Delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 37 says in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What's really cool is that when we begin to desire what God wants, he gives us the desires of our heart. Because when the desire is a desire from God, you know, it says in Philippians 2:13, it says that he teaches us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He actually puts it in our heart to want to do his will. What I love about this is that the blessed man actually has a delight to please God. Not a delight to please his friends. Not a delight to please himself, but to please God. And it goes on to say that he meditates day and night in God's word. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1, that that's how you have good success. And then it says back in Psalm chapter 1, in verse 3, he's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And you know when it says planted, that means someone put it there on purpose. God put it there on purpose. He's in God's will, and he's planted by the rivers of water. What happens to a tree that's planted close to the water? It grows like nothing around here. And Jesus is the water of life. And then it says, and everything he does prospers. Verse 3, he becomes fruitful. He's abiding in the vine. And he's a fruitful Christian. See, this isn't just for little kids. It's for all ages. But see, verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, here's what I have seen. I have also seen kids that are like, hey, what time is it? Now, let me ask you a question. Why during a sermon do you need to know what time it is? Did you order a pizza? Is it almost your bedtime? Why do you need to know what time it is? Because you don't delight in the law of the Lord. That's why you're bored. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. You're bored. And you know what's going to happen to you? Instead, you know what the opposite of blessed is? What's the opposite of blessed? Cursed. And if you want to follow in the footsteps of maybe your own parent or your grandparent or your friends, you're going to just end up that way. I am thankful that not every young person that we have in our church is bored to be here. In fact, I would say some of them must want to be here, either because they think I'm really handsome, ha ha ha, or they like Miss Hannah, but she's leaving us in a couple weeks. Or maybe they just like this. And you know what's going to happen to you if this is what you like? If this is what your delight is, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. And one day you're going to stand up here and we're going to see you kiss somebody for the first time and enjoy a happy life. That's what will happen. But verse 4, let's quickly finish. Psalm 1, verse 4. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The best part about being the blessed man, the blessed person, is God knows your way. God knows your path. He knows where you're supposed to be, and he knows exactly what's going on. Job said in Job 23:10, he said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The best part about being blessed by God is God's in charge. He knows your way. He knows the direction you're supposed to be on. See, right now, we got some young people. We got some young men, young adults out of high school, 18, 19, 20 years old. He knows who your life partner is, and you don't even know it yet, but he knows that. But what if you go a different way? Then you're going to miss what he knows. And I like what one preacher said. He said, but I'm afraid that if I do it God's way, he's going to give me this shriveled up bratwurst for a wife. No, he's not. Come on. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do it God's way. He knoweth the way that I take. And when Job said that in Job 23, he was like, I don't even know where I'm going, but I know God knows the way. And there's lots of times in our life where we don't know what we're doing, but God knows. And we just got to be in the right path and in the right way. I being in the way the Lord led me. Just be where God wants you to be. Stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand with the sinners. Don't find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. You say, well, this is for kids. No, I've seen adults sit in the seat of the scornful and stand in the way of sinners. You know, and they just get into the gossip ring, and it doesn't do any good. The blessed man doesn't walk in that, doesn't sit in that, doesn't stand around that. Instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You can be that. And if you're a parent, you should help your children see that. You should say, you know what? That's not a good friend. You mean you would tell your kids you not to hang around? Yeah, I would. Have. I've even told Miss Wilma, I don't think that lady is a very good influence on you. I have told her that. And she has listened. And she has told me, hey, I don't like the way so-and-so is acting around. And as parents, I remember my mom. I don't want you hanging around Kenny. I don't like what I see. Don't be afraid to say something and to warn people about the direction they're going. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to open it, to read it, to learn from it tonight. Help us to be careful in the companions and the companionship we have. Of course we are to be kind and to be sincerely interested in the souls of every human being. But those personal friends and acquaintances, those people that we know closely, ought to be people that we look up to, not down. People that are better at things as Christian than we are. That would sharpen us as iron sharpens iron. And that would make us the godly person we need to be. Help us to desire not to have our flesh pleased and rubbed the right way, but to be challenged and motivated and influenced by godly, humble, good friends. Help us to be that kind of a friend, that we would desire to be that kind of a friend for someone else. We thank you, God, for your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.